This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
One of the most intense periods in a young person's life. Long hours studying, constant pressure and the weight of future plans. They can all take a toll. But for some people, that experience is made even more challenging by personal circumstances beyond their control. My guest today, Caoimhe Graham, sat her Leaving Cert while dealing with deep personal loss and serious health challenges. She's here to share her story, how she coped, what helped her through it and what she has learned along the way. Caoimhe, thank you for joining me on iRadio's group chat. First off, can you take me back to that time during the Leaving Cert? What was life like for you?
So my Leaving Cert, as people may know, was not the easiest time. I always have struggled with a few chronic illnesses and things, but they never overly affected my life that much. It did affect some of my attendance in school a couple of times, especially in like the run up to the Leaving Cert. I had a few flares where I was admitted and a few surgeries and things. But mainly what kind of affected me most was my mother had motor neuron disease and she died in November of 2024, which was just a few months before my Leaving Cert, and that was kind of the biggest struggle for me because I didn't find any kind of support like through my school or even through like Jer or here. I didn't really seem to have many supports available, so I always kind of just felt like I was at a bit of a disadvantage.
How were you making do with the circumstances then? Did you attempt to kind of make it through the Leaving Cert year yourself and keep up with all the studying during what I can only imagine was the most unimaginable painful time?
Yeah, so I kind of knew that I didn't, like, I did obviously have the choice of not doing my Leaving Cert and doing it the next year, but I also knew that's something that I didn't particularly want to do, as I honestly didn't want to face all of it all over again. And I had worked hard in fifth year, so I kind of hoped that it would pay off. I was really, really lucky to have Grinds 360. So even the days where I weren't at school or when my mum was sick or anything like that, I could do the work at home myself. And that was, like, honestly beneficial beyond words, being able to have access to the full, like, you know, the full education that I would have had access to if it wasn't for everything that was going on in my life. And the kind of people, a lot of people do ask me all the time, because I get a lot of messages from people in similar situations, like, how did I deal with it? And like, how did I cope? And what did I do? And like, as harsh as it sounds, it is the reality that the CEO doesn't really care what you go through in that circumstance. So you only have one choice. If you want to get the course you want or you want to do well, you kind of just have to deal with it as best as you can and try your best.
Obviously, with your mum being sick in your fifth and your sixth year, was it also her wishes for you to keep studying as much as you could to get through that Leaving Cert?
Yeah, it was definitely something she was really for. She's always been for our education, like since we were really, really young. I actually did early university entry at DCU when I was a kid and a teenager, and she was always really for that. And her kind of motto always was that she didn't really care what we do as long as we try our best. She knew we were capable, so she wanted us to work as hard as we could to give ourselves the options that she thought, like, you know, we deserved. So it's always kind of something that also stuck with me, is that I know that, like, she was, even when she was like really sick, like, that was something that she really wanted, was for us to work hard in school. So I knew that if I'd come home and been like, oh, I'm not doing the Leaving Cert, I think I actually would have put more stress and strain on her, and she was already going through so much and our family was kind of going through so much, that I didn't really also want to add that strain to her, or like, I didn't want her to make her feel guilty either. And it was also something I wanted to do, like, my friends were in my year, I just didn't really want to have to face the whole process again.
Support wise, how did you equip yourself at the time? I know that obviously you kind of were ploughing on through it, and then you had Grinds 360 as well and all that in the educational sense. But how did you support yourself on like a personal level with friends and family?
I'm so lucky to have such great friends and family that were always there for me if I ever needed anything. With school, there was definitely some people in the school who tried their best to help me in any ways that they could, but there also just wasn't a whole lot they could do, because they can't change the curriculum. Where, like, I've sat in an English class where, for like in our Leaving Cert, one of the poets we did, like, one of the poems was literally about some, like, this poet's mother dying, and like, there was nothing that they could do about that or to change that. So there was not so much they could do in that sense. Like, yes, my teacher did allow me to sit outside the class for that, those ones, because she obviously knew that probably wasn't the best thing for me to hear at the time. And some of the teachers did try very hard in that sense to, you know, be understanding. But at the same time, like, I still had to cover poets, I still had to do the poetry, I still had to kind of, like, even in general class conversation, like, obviously Shakespeare isn't directly related to anything that I've gone through, but like the constant talk of like death and things, it can be triggering if you're in that kind of mindset and environment.
All of those things that I would have done some of them in my own Leave It Cert as well, though, they're themes about what's happening in real life. And when you're facing that very much face to face in your own life, I can only imagine that that would have been very triggering and very upsetting during such a stressful time for you. And I know as well that not that long before your exams, you were in the hospital with kidney issues as well. I mean, that must have just all been incredibly tough anyway. And then for that to be happening as well, I can't even imagine. Did you consider at any point postponing, especially when you were hospitalised at that stage? Or were you always very, very keen just to get the exams done?
I was always very, very keen to get the exams done. Like, we had a social worker from the hospice who was amazing, and he had offered me at the time, like, look, here are your options. Like, you don't have to do it. Like, there's so much going on. At that point, I was like, absolutely not. Like, my first reaction was no, and my parents backed me on that. And then when I was in hospital, my dad was like, look, your exams are in a week, you're still in hospital, you're still in a flare, like, what if you're not feeling your best for the exams and like you don't perform your best? And I was just absolutely adamant that I just did not want to have to resit them. It honestly been such a long year, everything had just gone on, I just did not want to, I needed it to be over as soon as possible. So I was really adamant just to get it over and done with.
What were your feelings like on that last day of the exams, when you did finish everything and you'd reached your goal?
I'd like to say that I was like proud or something, but honestly, I was just glad I was done. I just become so frustrated by the whole system that it didn't really feel like much of an achievement, because like, although I know for myself personally that there wasn't a whole lot more I could have done, like I did try my best, that I knew it wasn't going to pay off in the sense that I wanted. So it was almost a bit of disappointment, because I just knew that I wasn't going to get what I wanted, but I also knew there wasn't a whole lot I could do about that. So I was honestly just glad to get it done and to kind of move on with my life, because there is bigger and better things than the CAO, but I was kind of glad to get it done.
I can imagine. I mean, there's so much relief when anyone does the Leave and Cert, but when you were up against so many difficult circumstances that weren't your fault, like, it would have been incredibly, incredibly difficult. But if you could speak to the policymakers, what is one thing you would like to change to make the Leave and Cert system more fair, especially for circumstances like your own? I'm sure there are lots and lots of people who go through personal circumstances, you know, with health of the student themselves and health of family members around that time.
Yeah, so I really do understand that they have DARE and HEAR, and I both think they're both amazing schemes. Like, as somebody with a chronic illness, although I was denied DARE and had to appeal it, which was honestly my final straw after the whole Leaving Cert to be denied it, because they were like, oh, we don't like know about this condition, we need more information. I personally do think if they need more information, they should be telling you prior, because just getting an email saying you didn't qualify after everything, it just felt so disheartening. Even though I did obviously appeal it and get it in the end, the frame for appeals is really, really short, and I had to like write a letter to my consultant to get him to write a letter for me, and I'm so lucky to have access like to him and his email that he responded so quickly, but many consultants wouldn't. So I do think that's something that could be changed. If they're looking for more information, that should be done a little bit sooner, rather than just kind of saying no and then being like, well, why did you say no? And it's because of the lack of information, or they haven't heard of the condition, which I understand, but like you could also just reach out a little bit sooner. And then also, like, what's kind of really made me, like, I understand that it's not a common situation, but then when I've seen how many people were messaging me over the last few months, I just felt really bad, because I knew it wasn't just me. And if it was just me, I had got through it, but I didn't know if obviously everyone would be able to deal with it in the same sense that I did. Gotten quite a few messages from people who were in the same situation being like, I literally just don't know how I'm going to do it. Like, my school aren't helping. There's not much that they can do. I really want to go to college, and I feel like, you know, I'm failing my parents. And I was like, all I ever say to them is like, my main thing is like, it's not your fault. It's the system's fault. It's not your fault. You're doing your best. And like, your grades may not reflect that, for other people aren't going through what you're going through. So like, and no one will ever fully understand. Like, and even like some days I felt guilty sitting in school that like I could have been with my mum for more time, given I didn't obviously have that much time with her in the end. I always felt guilty being in school, but then if I was with her, I felt guilty that I wasn't in school. So it's just like, if I was there, I felt guilty I wasn't with her, and if I was with her, I felt guilty that I wasn't there, because I just didn't really have that reassurance that like there was something in place for people like me. And this is a feeling I've got across from many students who are also going through the same thing, that they just feel like they don't know what to do in any sense, because they just don't have anything to fall back on. So they just kind of feel very unsupported, and it just feels very unfair, given like it's, you know, 2 years of hard work come down to these single exams, which I know that they're changing, but there's also just so much more that they can do. And then when I emailed the Minister of Education, and she kind of offered support, and I was like, I understand that, you know, support is something that should be offered to students, but it doesn't really make it equal. And I just think it is such a like disadvantage, and that it should be addressed, because it's just not very fair on people. And like, it's not even about me, it's about how many other people are going through the same thing and may not get their courses and may not get the future that they want after going through such a hard time. And they were potentially able to get that if they hadn't gone through that, I think is really disheartening for them.
What would have gone a long way for you? What particular thing in an ideal world, what would have been the ideal for you?
In the ideal world, I think it could be fitted under DARE or HEAR. Like personally, I don't see, like DARE is obviously a medical disadvantage. I understand that, like that's one thing. And people were saying to me like, oh, you could apply for DARE under like mental health reasons. But you have to have very severe mental health issues to qualify for DARE, which I understand, because obviously, unfortunately, a lot of people in fifth and sixth year would struggle with anxiety or depression, that to make the scheme fair and equal, they only give DARE to people with significant mental health difficulties, which I completely understand. But I do think it could be fitted under HEAR quite easily, because if HEAR is a social disadvantage, like for me, I couldn't apply for HEAR even though I was in a DARE school and all those criteria, because they looked at the 2023 income. And at that point, both my mother and my father were working, so we had dual income. So that's why I wouldn't have met the criteria for HEAR. But I actually, if they'd looked at our income at the present time, I would have qualified, because at one point my mother obviously was not working, and obviously when she passed, she also wasn't working either. So, and like no amount of money will ever kind of make up the difference for that either.
I can imagine that would be the case. And I imagine it must be very, very painful as well to have to even rehash any of that when you're trying to explain, no, but that was the past now. This is my current circumstance, which I'm trying to grapple with anyway. You know, trying to explain that to people, I can't even imagine. But how are you doing now? Now that you fast forward to the present, because I know you've been such a, you know, a big campaigner for this particular cause. How is your life at the minute?
So I've actually, I started college.
Amazing.
I got to one day of college, and then I was admitted to a hospital in Dublin for 5 weeks for heart issues. So I ended up deciding to drop out because it just wasn't the right time, given all the kind of health issues I had surfacing, and that it had been 5 weeks in hospital. There were many appointments, procedures and everything to come, and so much uncertainty that it just wasn't the right time. So I decided to drop out, and I've reapplied to the CAO, and ultimately I was quite unsure in that decision, but I've had like 8 admissions since then, so I'm really glad I made that decision, because it would have been absolutely impossible to have kept up college in the kind of circumstances I've been in the last few months.
There will be another time for you, and now that you have reapplied, I mean, there's going to be a whole new semester that waiting for you. What are you hoping to study? Do you have any idea on that yet?
I definitely do think I want to study something science related. I'm not quite sure what. I'll obviously put down the kind of dream course at number one in case I get the magic DARE place. That's an amazing amount of points, but I really like, I understand that's so not realistic, but I'll throw it down anyway. But I would like to do, there's a couple of courses I'd like to do, like maybe medical science or applied biology and pharmaceuticals and things. That's currently on my CO.
Well, I will keep the fingers crossed for you, for sure. The CEO can be a fickle thing. You know, it's such a, when we all nearly go through it, and it's the waiting that does it for people. But I am sure that your time will come wherever you are meant to be going. But before I let you go, for people who might be listening now, students in particular, who might be going through something similar to what you did when you were nearly even there, whether that be with grief or illness or any other type of challenge on that level, what would you want them to hear?
What I want them to hear is like mainly that like it's not their fault. And a lot of people who aren't in that situation, oftentimes teachers will say things that are genuinely incredibly insensitive, and it will make you just feel so bad about yourself, because they'll be telling you to try harder or all these different things when like you could literally be at your breaking point. You're trying so, so hard. So you have to be easy on yourself. Give yourself grace. You're going through so much and you're trying your best. Life, things just happen in life and it's horrible, and that's what it is. So maybe you wanted more points than you're going to get. Maybe you wanted a different course, but it will work out in the end. I know it's okay to be upset by the fact that you didn't reach what you would have wanted to, or maybe reach your potential, but you just kind of have to come to terms with that's what it is, and just enjoy your life in other ways, because there's so much more to the world than the Leaving Cert and CAO.
There indeed is so much more to the world than the Leaving Cert and the CAO, for sure. And the perspective, even I'm a couple of years older than you, perspective of time, definitely I would agree with that as well. Caoimhe, thank you so much for joining me on iRadio's group chat, and I'm sure we will chat to you again.
Thank you.
This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it, we're talking about it on iRadio.